So we all have different weaknesses, and we all know our weaknesses deep down inside. What usually happens in a relationship is that the closer the relationship, the more we sense the other person's weaknesses or faults, because it surfaces many more times and much sharper. Usually people comment and have all kinds of good advice. If you'd wake up earlier, you'd be on time more to work. You'd get a raise. You'd be advanced. All kinds of comments which theoretically are very helpful but are not. Deep down inside, what every person wants is that their spouse will love them the way they are, which means love them with their weakness, love them with their faults, not try to change them. And as much as that seems simple, it's not. I don't need my spouse to love me for where I love myself. I need my spouse to love me for where I don't love myself. I don't need my spouse to accept me where the whole world accepts me. I need my spouse to be the place that accepts me where no one else accepts me. We want to come home to a loving environment. Well, we have to give that loving environment. And we want to come home to someone who will accept us without commenting, you know, that was stupid. You know, you shouldn't have said that. By the same token, we have to give that. And we have to realize that our jobs as spouses is to give that comfort, to make the home that environment where people will know they'll be accepted as they are. Now, this plays itself out in many different ways. And in different scenarios, so there are different responses that are correct. We have to know as a basic rule that any time we say criticism, it is hurtful. And it doesn't matter how right it is or how impersonal it is. This, if there's one rule that you have to know in building a relationship, it is that criticism is hurtful. And it does not matter how right you are, and it does not matter how impersonal it is. People will sometimes explain to me 15 times why it has nothing to do with her. I didn't say anything personal. I just said that maybe she should do this. You criticized. And people take criticism personally, husbands and wives. And the flip side of that is that compliments build a relationship. And a person has to get into the habit of complimenting and showing appreciation. If you want to know the one formula to make a marriage work, it's what we just discussed. Criticism breaks and compliments build. And it's a habit. It's something that a person has to consciously work on, especially husbands. Because it's very easy for the husband to come home and not appreciate that anything was done. He puts on his underwear, he puts on his undershirts, he doesn't think someone had to launder them, that someone had to go out and buy the washing detergent, that someone had to hang them out to dry, someone folded them up and they got back to the closet. It doesn't cross his mind. So a person has to work on it. And one of the things that husbands have difficulty with is that when they compliment, the wife says, oh, it was nothing. So he comes home and says, wow, how'd you manage to do the shopping and the cooking and the cleaning? And she says, it was nothing. So after two or three times that he hears it was nothing, he stops saying anything, and that's a mistake. When she says it was nothing, what she means to say is, argue with me. I want you to say, no, sure it was something. What do you mean it was nothing? You did this and that. What she's really saying subconsciously is, I want you to say it more. I didn't hear enough. Reaffirm, yeah. Sometimes the wives say things that really turn the husband off. She'll say something like, oh, you're just saying that, you don't mean it. So what does the average husband say? Okay, if you say so, goodbye. Because for men, that's not a way of conversation. If I compliment and you knock me over the head, so goodbye. What do you want from me? But it's wrong. What she really wants to hear is, of course I mean it. What do you mean I don't mean it? And again, to reaffirm. So, again, mind over matter. These are things you have to get into the habit. It doesn't come naturally. The natural response brings explosions. I'm not saying I recommend wives respond that way. But at the end of the day, you have to at least understand what's being said. Now, there are areas where respecting one another means understanding that you don't understand. So, there are areas that mean something to a person, and we can't understand what they mean to a person. A chassan does not understand what a wedding gown means to a kallah. He doesn't. A chassan doesn't understand what the flowers might mean to a kallah. There are areas in life that we have to pick up our hands and say, I don't understand. One of those areas is the interpersonal relationship that people have. Meaning her relationship with her parents is something that you don't understand. And I don't care if you have the best relationship with them, you can't understand her relationship with her parents. And you could be married to her 20 years, you still won't understand. And the fact that when she sees her, does she have siblings? No. But her cousins or her old friends and the way they interact, and suddenly they're like teenagers and they're teasing one another, and you can't understand that. And part of respecting one another is knowing that there are areas that we cannot understand. And we don't have a right to an opinion. Sometimes her friend is going to tell you jokingly, tell her I'm right. Tell her she's not being fair. And a smart husband says, I'm not getting involved. Could be her friend is right. Could be her friend is wrong. What's for sure is that you can't understand the dynamics of the relationship. It predates you. Now, there are times when our spouse is doing something that's wrong. And then it depends on how severe it is. Let's take a simple case. Your wife, not your wife, okay, a person's wife hangs out the laundry and it drips on the neighbor's laundry, okay? So that's not nice, but it's not your business. You know, if she discusses it with you, you could say, I think we should figure something else out, which means you better figure out where you could resolve the situation and put up another clothesline where it'll be just as convenient and in the sun for her. Fine, don't just come with an eitzah that never works. It could be that the neighbor has their clothes hanging out 2 days straight, and your wife is never going to have a chance to hang out her laundry if she's never... Okay, so I'm saying... But you also have to realize it's none of your business. If she discusses it with you, fine. She doesn't discuss it with you, that's it. It's not your business. Your neighbor might come banging on the door and say, you just made me all my laundry wet and I have to start all over again. It's between your wife and the neighbor's wife. It's not your business. There are going to be issues where you might not agree with your wife, but it doesn't mean it's your business to get involved. And they could be halachic issues too. they don't pertain to you, fine. So a guy once came to me and said, my wife could be in the middle of Shmona Esrei, and if a child's crying, she'll bend down and pick him up and go shh, 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 shh. And it's not nice where to daven Shmona Esrei. So I told him, it's none of your business. Get out of the room when she's davening Shmona Esrei. Either take the kids. If you really think she should concentrate, good for you, I'm happy. Take the kids and let her concentrate. And if for whatever reason you can't take the kids, you're doing something else that you can't, so it's none of your business. Look the other way. It's between her and the Rebbein Shlomo. There are areas that are not your business. And then there are areas that are your business. There can be areas of kashrus. There can be areas of the laws of family purity. There can be areas of things that pertain to both of you, where it is your business. So the first rule in these areas is that pressure breeds sin. The Gemara says, religious pressure is not productive. Nothing good can come out of religious pressure. The Gemara says, the only thing that comes out of it is that the wife is pressured to produce, but not in accordance with halacha. The Gemara says, if a wife is pressured that the candles have to be lit just right and everything has to be done just right, then if she didn't get the candles lit before Shabbos, if there's pressure in the house, she might end up lighting them after Shabbos. Did you win or lose by having pressure? If the wife is pressured that things have to look just this way, so then if she doesn't find the meat with the heksher that she usually buys, she might buy meat without a heksher. That's a Gemara. So the Gemara says, religious pressure doesn't begin in the home. It doesn't belong in the home. The religion should not be a point of contention, argument, or pressure. And this goes a very, very long way. We do whatever we can to avoid conflict in this area. One of the things I recommend for everyone, every couple, is to take the religious questions out of the house. Meaning, you should have a rabbi who your wife feels comfortable with and you feel comfortable with. Meaning, even I, when my wife comes to me and asks me halachic questions, my wife said a joke a few weeks ago that for 10 years we're married, and for 10 years I tell her what the rabbi's going to say before I call him, and then I call him. But I don't tell her halacha. I say, I think he's going to say this, and then I call him. Fine, but why don't I answer the question? Because the nature of people, husband and wife, is that you get upset at the one who's telling you, especially if it's your spouse. So if I say that the pot isn't kosher and we have to kosher it after, by mistake, this or that was done, so then I'm the bad guy. If I call the rabbi and he said, okay, so the rabbi said, what can we do? And most halachic questions impact the wife much more than the husband. So it's very important that you go to a halachic authority that she feels comfortable with. So if he says that she has to check lettuce, or she has to check rice, or she has to check the beans for the chulin, whatever he says is going to be a burden on her much more than you. Even if you're the best husband in the world and you help as much as you can, at the end of the day, it's her headache. So that's why it's very important that the halachic authority you ask is someone that you both feel comfortable with, and I put a bigger stress on her than you. When guys come to me and tell me they want me to be the rabbi, I say no. Choose someone your wife is comfortable with, not that you're comfortable with. Because the answers are going to pertain to her more than you. Okay. Now, there can also be instances where the spouse's job is to say, I don't think that's right. Meaning, there can be cases where a wife sees that her husband spoke disrespectfully to his parents or did something that was really not fair or whatever. Sometimes, I'm saying there are rare instances, and there are times where the spouse's job is to be truthful and say, I'm sorry, I love you, and I appreciate a lot of things about you. In this case, I don't think you're right. And that's a certain safety net that we each have, provided that it is only in extreme cases, only in situations which are important enough that they're worth it. For example, it has to be something that's relevant, meaning on the clothesline, that's something that's between her and the neighbor. If she wants your opinion, she'll ask for it. If there's a bigger issue, that she's cheating her boss, that, you know, or she sees you punching in the card and then going out to daven and eat breakfast, and you're getting paid for 2 hours that you're not working, then I would expect that she'll come to you and say, I'm sorry, I think that it's not fair. It's money that we're stealing. It's not right. We don't have a right to take it. It doesn't have to be in a tough way, but a spouse's job is in extreme situations, and they do come up every so often. They do come up, and it is a spouse's job to say, I don't think that's right. Being faithful to our spouse doesn't override being faithful to the Torah. Everything should be said nicely and gently. And now, like we said, it's not going to happen often. But there are times when it is a spouse's job to say, I don't think that's right. Once we touched on that, so we could maybe discuss a broader topic, which is, how does one give rebuke? If you have to say something, what's the best way to say it? So the first rule is don't. 9 out of 10 things that you're going to want to say something about, if you wait, they'll solve themselves. Wait, see if it happens again, see if it happens again. Wait. Most of the time, either it's going to resolve itself or it's not resolvable. Either or, you gain nothing by saying something. The second thing is, so you better write this down. I'm telling you now a whole list. Number one is wait. See if you really have to say something. Most often, it will either resolve itself or it won't be resolvable. Number two is try to complement the positive. Meaning, let's say a husband wants his wife to wash the floor well. And usually she doesn't. If when she does, he will be able to express very strongly how much he appreciates it. We all function better when we're complimented rather than rebuked. So strengthening the good always works much better. And that's how we can affect change in our spouse without their even noticing it. And that's a very, very potent idea. The fact that what we compliment is not only building our relationship, but it's also strengthening things. And then sometimes there'll be something which a husband thinks is worth saying, and there's a point to saying, and it's possible it will change. And usually he's wrong, but then we come to the question of if a person has really decided that something should be said, so how do you do it? So firstly, before we get there, you have to know that every couple lives with real issues. The happiest couples are those that learn to live with them better. But real issues, everyone has. And when I say real issues, I mean a husband or a wife that knows that their spouse is not exactly truthful, each one has their real issues. I can tell you, just 1 second, so keep up. So, for example, a wife can tell her husband, I went shopping this morning, and then he finds out she didn't go. Or a husband tells his wife, I'm staying late at work tonight, and really he went out to eat a better supper. He didn't want to eat her food. I'm saying, okay, so when it happens once, it's one thing. After it happens a few times, so a spouse starts getting the feeling, hey, wait a second, this is a recurring thing here. A couple agrees that they're not spending beyond, let's say, 5,000 shekel in the month, and suddenly the wife doesn't tell her husband, and she goes and buys herself a new mink coat for 10,000 shekel, aside from all their other expenses that month. So we all have weaknesses. And these issues, when a person faces them, seem huge. And they might be huge. I'm not saying they're not. The question is, how do you deal with them? Now, the first step is to realize it's normal that couples have real issues. It's normal. A husband begs his wife to always buckle herself when she's driving and the kids, and she doesn't. Okay, now to the husband that might be a real issue. Some people think it is, some people think it isn't. I'm one of those that think it is. But you understand there are people who don't view things that way. The wife asks her husband never to leave out cleaning detergent where the kids could reach it. And the husband does. Now, to some people that's going to be a real issue, and some people it won't. The husband leaves his gun lying around. I'm saying these are big issues. This isn't a game. These are issues that can really be life or death issues. Now, you understand that if a person doesn't take this responsibly, then a person can very quickly find himself with a real reason why I can't live with that person. But you have to realize that every spouse has real reasons, because we all have real, real issues that we have to deal with. Every one of us. Every one of us has real things that we have to fix. And the question is, how do you deal with it? So firstly, first point is perspective. Everyone has them. And you could still be the happiest couple in the world. So now, if we've decided that this is going to be something that we're going to raise, so the first rule is you only raise issues when you're mutar, not when you're asur. You have to let the whole ends when you talk. So that's rule number one. What do most people do? Most people wait until there's a problem, and then when they start yelling, they say, and not only that, but you're a downright liar. And then they throw the whole book. That's how most of us are. Once we're ready, things are exploding, so we're ready, and it gets us nowhere. It only makes the problem bigger. It only exasperates the issue. It's not productive. So the first rule is when we're mutal. The second rule is when we're especially close. Try to plan it. When you have some time together, when things are calm, when things are close. So that's the second rule. The third rule is that when you bring it up, you don't mention it as something that happened a million times, as a person's personality flaw. You mention it as something that happened once. Because if you mention it as something that happened over and over and over again, what you're cornering the person, and then the person is going to say, yeah, that's the type of person I am, you're stuck with me, that's it. Meaning if you prove to the person from many cases that this is who the person is, then that's going to be their answer. Fine, so that's who I am, you're stuck. So you have to choose one time that it happened and bring it up like, you know, when we were discussing the other day, and I know it really doesn't matter and I feel funny bringing it up, but you said you went shopping already that morning and I understand you planned on still doing it, but then you didn't, and then it struck me a little bit that you said something that wasn't really what happened. You understand, you present it gently as a one-time thing. And rule number four, you have to present many, many angles of how a person can work on that and fix it. If you only come with a complaint, but you don't have solutions, then you have no right to open your mouth. You have to think in advance of possible solutions, a few, not one, so that you can help the person fix it, not just come with claims, you know, with tinnitus. You're like this and you're like that. Goodbye, then that's a fight. That's not productive. Rule number five. You have to take on yourself to work on something that's equally difficult while she's working on that. And that is beneficial on two fronts. Firstly, because you'll see how hard it is, then you'll have appreciation for what she does. And secondly, because you won't succeed. And then when you don't succeed, you'll have patience for her not succeeding. When we're only on the demanding side, then it's very easy to demand and not understand why the other side isn't producing. When you'll make an equal demand of yourself, you'll see you won't live up to it. And then either you'll say, forget it, she'll accept me the way I am, I'll accept her the way she is, which is what usually happens, or at least you'll have patience when you see that it's not so easy to change anything. And the final point is, you have to compliment for every small advancement. You have to show tremendous appreciation, because every small advancement is hard. What do most people do? They expect perfection in one day, which is impossible. It's ridiculous. And then what do? They criticize and they comment when the other side is working so hard. All they can do is comment on what's not yet perfect. So that's ridiculous. And then you take away the cheshek. The other side doesn't even want to do anything anymore because they try so hard, and all you have to say is criticism. So you have to do the exact opposite. Not criticize, just compliment. Remember the halacha in Ilchot Gerim, that you don't look over a ger's shoulder. Takes time. It's not only not criticize, but yes, compliment. Show appreciation for every small advancement.